and are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are Americans.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are Americans.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours in sight.
Welcome to Sovereign Mind Radio. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host. And we are sponsored by North State Consultants, Inc., the best tax preparation service in the business. Our telephone number there is 530-221-0101, and consultations by are by appointment only. Today is January 21st, 2012. Good morning out there. How's everybody doing? I got my sister in the studio with us, Linda.
Good morning. Good morning, Nate, over there on the soundboard.
Howdy, howdy.
Nate's
good morning.
On the board. Very good, very good. We're going to have a guest today. His name is Chris Owens. He's from Bullseye Tactical Firearms Training, and we'll be talking with him here after the first break. The chat room is open at KCNR 1460. Or feel free to call in at 530-605-4567. Your country, your children, and your grandchildren need you to get involved now. What's it going to take to pry your butts up off the couch? How bad does it have to get before you start doing something? This program wants to give you as many solutions as possible. You need to start by educating yourself on the issues. Talk to your neighbors, go to a Tea Party meeting, check out the website, see what you can do to protect yourself from and your family from big out-of-control government. Again, if you have any questions, please call in 530-605-4567 or the chat room, KCNR1460.com. House cleaning reminders. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m., 2570 South Bonneville. It's Destiny Fellowship. And
this Monday is Fred Kelly Grant.
Oh, that's right. We got Fred Kelly Grant coming in on Monday. That's going to be great. This is the man when it comes to coordination and stuff and 10th Amendment rights and keeping the federal government at bay from infringing upon our property and our rights as far as water and property and all that stuff. So first quote is from Harriet Beecher Stowe. Oh, I guess before I go to the quotes, have you got any veterans events that we need to go over?
Actually, I do. The Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center is going to be doing a drive for scrap metal starting Friday, January 27th through Sunday, February 12th. You can bring all your old computers, monitors, freezers, washers, just about anything that has a plug, and drop it off there, and they're going to turn it in. This is one of their fundraisers, so get your scrap metal out and get it down there. It's going for 2 weeks, so that will be really cool.
So that was your plug for anything that has a plug.
Anything for a plug. And we want to get some money for them down over there. We went to the museum the other day, and they got a lot of really cool stuff, so... You know, if anybody can help support them out there, that's awesome.
Very good, very good. So, first quote is, never give up, for that is just the place and time that the tide will turn. And that's Harriet Beecher Stowe. So with that, I got an article here that I want to go over before we get to our guest. It's called Auditing the Fed's Gold. Now, what's interesting about this is that... it's talking about how the Fed now is coming under scrutiny, and because of the information that's been getting out more and more and more about the Fed, that they are starting to take some fire about being audited and the secretive transactions that seem to be going on behind the scenes. And, you know, we can owe this to Ron Paul. Whether you actually want to vote for him or not, is not necessarily even the issue. But what he's doing is getting in this issue into the limelight where nobody else has. I was watching a video yesterday. There was four senators running for the Senate in Texas, and every single one said they wanted to audit the Fed or in the Fed. And they all recommended to read Ron Paul's book, In the Fed. Now, that's kind of interesting because when you think about that, when was the last time there was four senators in any race that were talking about the Fed as far as being a problem in the country?
Another thing is, you used to say that the Federal Reserve was a private entity 10 years ago, and they'd call you conspiracy theory. Oh, you're just crazy.
Yeah.
The Fed's not Fed's government.
Yes. It's part of the government. It's not private. Yeah. Paper money is money, and gold isn't.
Yeah, so it's good that he's injecting these, win or lose, he's injecting, the people are talking about
it. That's right. It's getting into the debate, whether they like it or not, because the technique up to this point is completely ignore that, and nobody else brings it up, because that's what's, I think, known as the Delphi technique. They've been using it on the media and television very well. They just keep directing the debate.
Well, Gandhi, that's what he said. First they ignore you, then they laugh at you. Then they criticize you, and then you win.
And then you win, absolutely. Now, what's interesting about this article is that, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. It's about four pages. But the thing that caught my eye is Double Counting the Gold is the title of this particular paragraph in the article. It says, if the Fed is fully audited, it is likely that the audit will reveal that the gold is encumbered. Foreign central banks have leased their gold. This is a phrase for sold the gold, since people who borrowed it at 1% annual, then sold it for money and bought government bonds paying 5% more. They cannot sell these bonds at face value, and the bonds have fallen in value. They cannot afford to buy gold in the open market to return the gold to the central banks, so because the price is already far above what they sold it for. So what these guys have been doing is they've been taking the same gold and they've been selling it over and over and over again, basically. And so that's a problem. In December of 2004, an obscure committee with the International Monetary Fund submitted a report on swaps and gold leasing. With respect to accounting for gold leasing, the report admitted there are no standards. So let's see if I got that straight. There's no rules. These guys can do whatever they want up there, and so they just keep reselling the gold. That's not going to be a problem when they find out there's not that much gold out there.
And that fractional reserve banking, that's exactly what, that's what gold's supposed to prevent.
Absolutely. The statistical implications of gold swaps and gold loans, loan deposits are complex and have not been fully worked through. Work is still being undertaken by the committee to address the implications. And the thing is, what implications? One of them is the issue of double counting. In other words, they're double counting the gold that they do have and then reselling it over and over again. I mean, in particular, the gold may be double counted and with either a gold swapped or a gold loan deposit if the party acquiring the gold were to sell it outright. Because both the original owner and the outright purchaser would report ownership of the gold. Are you guys seeing a problem here? So, in other words, if I keep selling this gold and everybody thinks they own the gold, it depends on who has the gold that starts to account for, this is what a debacle.
Can I sell my car to two different people? How would that work?
Sure. And I have several watches that I need to sell. And, and they're all Rolex and the no knockoffs or anything. So this is starting to come to light now. But remember what Bernanke said? Gold isn't money. It's like orange juice. It's like a commodity. except they're all buying it up trying to protect themselves because they can see this crash that's coming. And the media has been brushing this off for years, but guess what? Ron Paul's candidacy has been bringing this to the forefront over and over and over again because the message is starting to stick and people are starting to realize there's a real problem. And if you do your little homework and you go back into the Founding Fathers and the Constitution and just a few little documents of like that, show you that the only real money is gold and silver, and counterfeiting is counterfeiting, and it used to be the death penalty, you start to realize, wow, maybe we got a problem here we need to address. Anyway, I thought that was a good article.
It was really good. More people need to hear that type of stuff so they know what's going on out there.
Well, they need to realize that sound money equals freedom. And then, because it's property rights and money is private property, you lose private property rights, and if somebody else controls your currency, you'll wake up homeless in the lands that your fathers conquered through taxes and inflation and the large corporations that would spring up around you. I think that's Thomas Jefferson.
Where did I hear that before?
A guy named Tom Jefferson, I think.
Who's that? He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it doesn't really apply now. Okay, well, with that, I guess we're about ready to go to a break here, and we'll be back with Chris Owens from Bullseye Tactical Firearms Training, hopefully. I think he's going to call in. I'm not sure if he's coming in or calling in.
Well, he wasn't sure, so I'm taking it he's going to be calling in. I haven't heard from him. He wasn't sure about the weather up there.
Okay, well, so hopefully we'll have our guests here pretty quick. So with that, we're going to go to a break. This is Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire Media.
Love your legs again. You don't have to live with varicose veins. MD Imaging encourages you to take a new look at the different options available to help you love your legs again. Our non-surgical solutions eliminate varicose veins with no hospital stay, little scarring, and no lengthy recovery. Our vein specialists offer the latest treatments that provide many benefits over what you may have heard about vein treatments in the past. And MD Imaging is the North State's only comprehensive vein center. That means you'll have your choice of the latest technologies, and all aspects of your treatment will be performed right here at MD Imaging. We offer complimentary evaluations so you can talk to our board-certified vein specialist to find out about your options. Love your legs again. Call 245-5945 to request your complimentary evaluation today. That's 245-5945, the North State's only comprehensive vein center, MD Imaging.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday, I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning, it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio. Want it dead or alive? Oh, boy. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media. I believe that we have our first guest on the line, or our only guest, Chris Owens, I think is how it's pronounced. Is that right? Are you there, Chris?
Chris Ewens.
Oh, Ewens. Okay. I saw it was spelled with an E, but I couldn't tell how the pronunciation was. So, anyway, how you doing this morning, Chris?
Doing good.
Good, good.
Good morning, Chris.
Morning.
So, tell us about yourself. I know that I've got a little intro here for you that I wanted to go over and tell everybody, what your background was. I thought I saw SWAT team experience and Let's see, what do we got? Instructor for a SWAT team from 86 to 90, the past 25 years, and how you've instructed thousands of students in the use of handguns, rifles, shotguns, machine guns. I like the machine gun part. And over the ensuing years, you have augmented law enforcement training by completing courses on nationally recognized training facilities, certified by FBI, California Peace Officer Standards and Training, California Department of Justice, California Bureau of Security, in investigative services, and the National Rifle Association to instruct handgun, rifle, shotgun, and personal protection courses. Boy, that's a pretty nice resume there, Chris.
Right. Yeah, I was in the right place at the right time back in the 86-87 time period for my department, California Department of Corrections. At the time was developing the SWAT teams, and the then director of the corrections just allocated unlimited funding for it. So I just happened to be right where I should be to benefit from that.
Right, in the right spot at the right time. Wow.
Right, because they had a need to quickly get these teams going, and so they were funding all sorts of training.
So
I think in 1 year I went to training two or three times, you know, that sort of thing.
Nice. Well, so what you're doing now is you have bullseye tactical firearms training, and that's what you're doing now. You're instructing people, and I'm assuming getting CCWs and just overall any kind of training they need?
Right. What I've done is in this area of the state, of California, I realized that there was a need for, my forte is advanced training, and there was a need for advanced training, and advanced training really requires more than just what we call in the business a square range. Square range is a range where you're just facing a firing line, facing a bunch of targets.
Hmm.
It's the typical range, the
right
one that people think of when they think of shooting. Well, advanced training, you need more than that. You need things such as shoot houses, where you have a simulated building that you're clearing, and
a little more like an urban combat type situations?
Yeah, it's just so that you can practice more than just shooting. You can practice what you do while you're shooting.
Right.
Moving targets, have a range dedicated to moving targets, and then nighttime shooting. That's one of the big ones.
Interesting.
And up here, the ranges don't allow nighttime shooting. You know, most of them are public ranges, and you can't shoot at night.
Hmm.
So there's a number of areas where I realized that we had a need for it, and so I developed it and was able to offer these courses. Now, the concealed carry courses, they're more basic to intermediate type course. And so some of that is applied, but some of it isn't. And my job, I guess you could say, is to try and convince the students as they go through the concealed carry courses that here's what you need to know. And it's not just shooting at targets.
I see.
So aren't your classes a little bit smaller, Chris, to get more one-on-one with everybody?
Right, they are. That was another thing. When I designed the whole business, I decided, a lot of places, the biggest problem with a business when you start expanding, it's how to find quality help. Find, employees and so forth. And I just didn't want to go through that. And
good help is hard to find.
Yeah, I didn't want to have to find other instructors. And so I deliberately kept the business, the class sizes down to a level where I could do it personally. So the class sizes are four, possibly five people at most.
Okay, very good. And do you teach any combat courses at all? I mean, for that type of stuff like cover, concealment, or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. All of the classes, including concealed carry, have as part of them, the concepts such as how the mind operates under stress and how to seek cover and concealment. That's pretty much going from intermediate on up.
Oh, I see you also teach rifle courses, too, rifle and advanced rifle, precision marksman. I'm just curious, do you have any long-range shooting courses at all?
Yeah, the precision marksman's the long-range.
Okay.
Scoped rifle. We go out to a long range and practice. The Precision Marksman 1, we practice from 0 to 300, and then the Precision Marksman 2 from 300 to 600.
Well, I'd be interested in that.
800.
I'd be interested in that. What kind of calibers do you recommend on something like that?
Most of the time, people, if you want to excel, probably the best thing to do with rifle calibers is keep the caliber at a power level that you can handle. So that means it changes with each person, but typically a person will want to stay at a 30 caliber, say 308 or 30-06, 243, these type of calibers.
I see. Yeah, I shoot a 300 Winchester short mag. What do you think about that as far as it's got pretty good distance?
That's a good one. Now here's something, a concept that comes into play, and this is with rifles, handguns, anything. You have to be certain that the caliber that you pick, that you're able to afford the ammunition to practice.
Yeah, that's a problem with that one. I usually hunt with it. But would you suggest going to something even like a 223? I've heard they're pretty good up to 800 yards. So, and you know, you can get a lot of ammunition for that, or would you just stay within the 30 caliber range?
Well, the 223, the problem, 223 is more of a, in consideration of precision marksman, it's more of a close caliber. It's not something that the typical person want to use out at, roughly 300 to 500 yards on.
Is the problem that they start to tumble the bullets, or and the accuracy just fades out, or is it the trajectory that starts to lose?
Yeah, it's a misnomer. It's sort of a misconception people have about 223. They don't tumble. The bullets don't tumble at all. Any bullet, if it were to tumble, would be like totally inaccurate. You can make bullets tumble, like putting a 223 and shooting it in a 308 barrel. I'm sure it would tumble because it would go down the barrel without spinning and stabilizing. But what happens with the 223 is just it's such a tiny bullet that as it's traveling, the inertia, it starts dropping sooner. It's affected by the wind much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of factors.
Interesting. Now, do you do the stuff on the long range rifle, like you know, sniper school, where they teach you how to dope the scope and all that kind of good stuff?
Yes, I do.
That's interesting. Well, you might have a new student. I'm going to be calling you about that one. Yeah, Nate's saying he wants to go too, so we're going to go up there. And because I've done some long-range rifle shooting, but I've never had any real, you know, sniper training where you're out there at 700-800 yards, you know, with any kind of accuracy.
Right. Now, what I can tell you with the biggest problem I've had with people with the precision marksman, with the scoped rifle type of training, is equipment, is people bringing quality equipment. When you start talking about wanting to group, say, 1 inch at 100 yards, 3 shots within a 1 inch circle, say that, you know, you can cover it with a quarter.
Yeah, that should be pretty easy, I would think.
Well, it's equipment. It becomes equipment, too. It's not just the operator. And so if someone brings a substandard rifle and or substandard ammunition, then that becomes a difficult task.
Right.
The scope, the rifle, the ammunition all play into it, as well as the operator. Hmm. So you have to have the right equipment to get that job done.
Do you have any recommendations? I shoot that 300 Winchester short mag in a Kimber Super America. And, you know, I found that the accuracy is pretty good with a Leupold scope on it. But, again, I'm
sure.
With that,
all of those are quality.
Okay. That's
Kimber, Leupold. And if you're shooting factory ammunition or carefully reloaded, you know, personal reloads.
Right.
Then you're going to have the accuracy. The problem comes with, I don't want to beat on any brands, you know.
Right.
I hate to do that because just about every major brand has some good quality rifles, but then some of them have some not so good quality.
Right.
But my personal favorite is Remington 700. That's what I was trained as a sniper with, and that's what I enjoy shooting.
Yeah, I heard some stories about the trigger pull on that can be, you know, in fact, I was watching, it was probably propaganda. Maybe you can let me know for sure on it. Because I have a 700 Remington as well, a 243. But I heard that they've been having trouble with the trigger mechanisms, that they are unsafe. What's your thought on that? And maybe hold that thought and come back with the answer, because we got to go to a break right now, and then we'll be right back, and then we can go on. And then, you know, think about maybe some stuff that you'd like to bring up about your courses or whatever, and that you want to, you know, get out there to the public, and we'll go from there. So,
okay.
Very good. So this is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media, and you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, and my name is Mark Kent. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Woodward.
And Aaron Ryan.
We'd like to have you join us on Sunday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. on KCNR 1460 for We the People Talk Radio. We are all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
You know what? We've done programs on federal and state land use issues, governmental overreach, family values behind the green mask, Second Amendment and other constitutional issues, technocracy and the smart grid, the monetary system, of course, spending, taxes, and debt, topics that fall under We the People. We want to know what topics you would like to hear about. Email Aaron at wethepeopleradio.us for more information. Bust on to wethepeopleradio.us, and the archives are there for your listening pleasure.
We the People Radio, bringing to you topics that affect you no matter where you live. Come join the previously silent majority.
See you Sunday.
We the People, Sunday mornings 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Have you had a foreclosure? Have you had a short sale? Did you know that you can buy a home within 3 years after a foreclosure or a short sale? My name is Pete Metz with Megastar Financial, and I have helped many people purchase again over the last 9 years in the Reading area. We offer FHA, USDA, VA, investment, and conventional financing. Getting pre-approved for a loan might be easier than you think. Give me a call today, Pete Metz, to get pre-approved at 530-221-7700 or visit me online at PeteMetz.com.
We're back. Sovereign Mind Radio, KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire. Hope you're enjoying our talk with our guest, Chris. And this is all really interesting stuff to me. I don't want to hog the conversation and pull all of this information out of you, but I was really looking forward to talking to you about some of this stuff. So where were we?
You were talking about the precision marksman.
Yeah, I'd like to. I'm going to give you a call here after the show, either today or Monday or something, and then, get set up on a course. So because I really enjoy that type of shooting. You know, I like the one shot, one kill mindset, because I just think that there's a lot more that goes into that type of a situation of, you know, all the stuff that you have to think about, windage and scope and drop and, you know, trajectory. There's a lot more to it than just pointing the gun down range and pulling the trigger.
Right. Most rifles are capable of more accuracy than the operators. That's a pretty common adage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So with that, I see I was kind of thumbing through here. And did you have anything you wanted to add to that, Chris?
About the precision marksman?
Yeah.
Well, patience and practice, I'd say that those are critical elements if you want to learn long-range accuracy. And documenting your every shot, trying to keep track of what you do so you don't have to reinvent the wheel and go back because you forgot.
Doesn't that kind of go hand in hand with loading your own shells as well?
Sometimes. Some people like to reload and some people don't.
I've started to do it a little bit, but I'm still learning, so I haven't got it down. But, I mean, one of the persons that I talked to, I mean, the biggest reason for a lot of these guys to reload, it seems like, is that it does step up your accuracy quite a bit.
Yeah, it depends on the caliber. Like, my favorite is, you know, the, like I said, the Remington 700 with 308 caliber. And in 308, there's several accurate loads that are factory loaded.
That seems to be a favorite of a lot of people, that 308. I've never been too big on the 308, but it seems like a lot of the military, a lot of the snipers seem to favor that caliper, it seems like, in the 30 caliber range. So is there a reason that is?
Well, I think it was just arbitrarily selected because it was a military round at the time. You know, the 7.62 NATO, and so police just adopted it. You know, it just transitioned over from the military.
Interesting. Now, do you teach spotting as well? Nate's kind of wondering about that. If he could go up there and we could team up and do like a spotter and trade off and stuff.
Right. That's part of the class. We do like we have one shooter and one spotter.
Nice.
We have two sets of two normally for the class.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. What else? Go ahead, Linda.
I think I'm off. Oh, there I am. I was just wondering, maybe you should go over and tell people about the actual courses. I believe your courses are set up a little bit different. You don't just stand in a line and shoot on the training that you provide. Is that correct, Chris?
That's correct. Have to excuse me. I've got that creeping crud that's taking 3 weeks to go away.
Yeah, we had that already.
Don't, oh my God!
It's not good. It's the
had a snowstorm.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
I was outside a lot.
Yeah, it was pretty cold out there, I bet.
Yeah, it was. The difference is, and I'm not trying to, you know, beat my own drum here, but it's just reality. Is that the difference is you go to a class in the area, and typically you stand, you know, 20 people in a row, and you shoot at a paper target, and then they score it, and then maybe there's some discussion of going to cover and concealment and so forth, but you don't actually practice it. And what I attempt to do in my classes is, I'm talking about the concealed carry classes now, is we actually practice movement and going to cover and being forced to deal with factors such as people around you and your tendency under any stress to have tunnel vision and to seek cover and to move and so forth. And so I start training the mind of the shooter to think about what they're doing while they're shooting, simulating that they're defending themselves.
Very good.
Interesting.
Yeah, that can make a big difference, I know, from past experience with me. Just standing in a line with 20 people isn't quite the same.
Yeah, you just reminded me of something. I have an interesting little story, if I may.
Sure.
A brief story. You're familiar with Donna Hopper? She recently was forced to shoot a man who was trying to break into her home.
Oh, yeah. Right here in Reading. Sure.
Yeah, and I went and saw her and talked to her, and Really enjoyed the lady. She was a very nice lady. She's a widow and, you know, lives by herself. And anyways, to make a long story short, in the process of talking, she mentioned something that I found was very informative. She said that something beyond her control happened while she was in the process of defending herself, that she said that a switch was turned in her mind and she was able to disconnect emotionally from what she was doing. And at the point when she was forced to shoot the guy, she just focused with this disconnected mind frame and shot him just center of the, as she said, the center of the white T-shirt. And she believes that this is because when she was young, she's in her, I'm guessing 70, 75, and when she was young, say 10, 20 years old, she was living on a farm and she was having to do chores, including the killing of farm animals. And she developed this ability way back when to disconnect her mind from this unpleasant task, particularly because, you know, these animals were, she had raised them and probably had some emotional attachment and all that. And she attributes the ability to turn that switch to way back then, that she had developed it and didn't know she had this ability. And this is actually something that's quite applicable to anyone that wants to learn self-defense shooting. It's one of the things that I strive to do in the classes, is to teach how to develop, how to practice your mind under stress, so that you work your mind so that when you're under stress, you're able to operate more efficiently.
And think clearly. Yeah, that almost sounds like a little bit like Navy SEAL training. I know that they like to disconnect themselves from the targets, because how could you have any empathy for someone, you know, that's the enemy, basically, or, you know, talking about someone breaking in, I mean, and they might kill you. You have to disconnect yourself a little bit, because you can't have empathy for the guy, and because if you do, it might cost you your life.
Right. Yeah, she said that in her mind, she still kind of felt like she was emotional, you know, like just the way she was going through the steps, she thought there was emotion there. But when she talked to the dispatcher, because she was on the phone to the 911 dispatcher the entire time, she said that it was a textbook phone call, that they were even thinking of using her call-in as a training phone call to show what to do, you know, how to do it perfectly type of thing.
Right.
The dispatcher said she was totally emotionless. She was very, you know, just very matter-of-fact in her descriptions and so forth. And I think that that's a really good point that she came up with, that at some point in her life she had inadvertently learned to do this and then was able to apply it. The brain was searching in that moment of stress and found what she had learned back when she was young in the farm and utilized it. And that's what I try to teach the students, you know, that you have to develop this ability, because it's very important. The thing that hurts most people when they're defending themselves is their inability to make decisions and to do things while under stress. That's probably the biggest problem that they have.
Right. And it seems to me that people need to really, you know, not only get this type of training if they are going to, you know, use a handgun or whatever for self-defense, to have already pre-thought this through so that when the moment does come, hopefully that it never does come, but they'll be a little bit more mentally prepared for it.
Yes, it's one of the things, I think, you know, there's the old saying, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And that applies very much to gun owners, that, you know, I can go through like the levels. The first level, instructors joke about it, is that they settle for the training that comes in the box, meaning that they just buy the gun and think that it's another joke saying we have in the profession, is that they think it's a magic talisman, that, you know, just owning the gun is going to ward off evil. By presenting it and saying you have a gun, that, you know, the bad guys are going to drop everything and run away.
That's always been my position.
And then you find out that doesn't work. Or at least it doesn't work all the time.
At least not with everybody anyway.
No, and you can't count on it, because You need to know what to do if you're forced to defend yourself. And that's when you, the next level comes, which is, well, the average person thinks, I'll go out to the range and I'll put a target up and I'll shoot at it. Say here in the local area, I'll go out to Iron Mountain to the public shooting area and I'll walk out, you know, 10 yards and I'll post a little bullseye target and I'll shoot at it. Or I'll put some cans out there and shoot at the cans, and if I can make the cans skip around, then I'm a good marksman. And that's true. That is something you need to develop if you can develop your fundamentals of marksmanship. But then you need to go beyond that, and you need to now say, okay, I need to learn what to do with my mind and how do I deal with this very stressful event. And there's ways to practice and prepare yourself for that stress.
Would that be like multiple targets and move, you know, having to move, you know, clearance around you other than the initial contact guy, those types of things?
Right. And the pinnacle of it, the, like you could call it the graduation exam, if you will, is once you've been through the advanced training, you're able to utilize all the skills you learned, sort of a building block process, and you learn all these skills. And then we, in Advanced Handgun 3, we practice force-on-force training where you have living, breathing opponents.
Hold that thought. We've actually got to go to a break, Chris. I apologize.
Okay.
And we'll be right back and then explain level 3 a little better for us. So we'll, like I say, we'll go to a break. Quick, KCNR 1460, home of the free fire. We'll be right back.
Switch your auto insurance. The AARP Auto Insurance Program from The Hartford is now available through Sisku Insurance Services in Mount Shasta, Redding, and Burney. Call Sisku Insurance Service at 243-224-2345 for your free no-obligation quote. Learn more about special rates, benefits, and services designed especially for AARP members. Discover why more than 3 million AARP members are enjoying special benefits like lifetime renewability, a lifetime repair guarantee, even a 6-point claim guarantee. You can also choose extra benefits like disappearing deductible, all at rates that can save you money. Get this one-of-a-kind auto insurance program for AARP members and enjoy the benefits of a national program, but still be able to walk into a local office and talk to someone regarding your policy. Sisku Insurance Services, located in Redding, Mount Shasta, and Burney, 530-224-2345, and discover the AARP Auto Insurance Program from The Hartford.
Have you ever served in the armed forces? Were you in the National Guard or a reservist who deployed on active duty? Are you in need of housing, or do you know of a veteran who needs housing? As a veteran, you should know that there are services available for you. Drop by the Veterans Housing and Resource Fair on Friday, January 27th from 10 a.m. until 7 p.m. at the Veterans Hall on Yuba Street in Redding. There will be food and refreshments and one-on-one information. The more veterans who know about these services, the fewer will be left behind. We need your help to get the word out. If we can identify 300 veterans who are couch surfing or staying with friends or family or who are homeless, additional housing assistance will be made available for veterans in Shasta County. So we're counting on you to be at the Veterans Hall for the Veterans Housing and Resource Fair on Friday, January 27th.
We'll be right back.
We're back. 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire, and we're talking about all kinds of stuff, guns, and we got Chris on the line with us from it's Bullseye Tactical. Bullseye Tactical Firearms Training. There we go.
Right. I put the tactical in there because, well, what we're talking about, you know, that this is more than just target shooting.
Right. No, and I like tactical. I mean, that says a lot of stuff to me. So let's go back. You were, before the end of the show, we want to go over all the courses that you provide. Linda's going to go over them. But let's go back to level three. We just got out of, level one target shooting to level two, where you're getting some proficiency. And then level three is more about tactical, right?
Right. Well, during level two, you're learning the skills to move and seek cover. You're learning skills about how to handle and harness your mind while you're under stress. Then you come to the level three where you actually get to practice everything and see if it works against a living, breathing opponent. So what we do is we use Glocks that are airsoft handguns. And preferably during the summer we do it because you want that high velocity, you want that sting, so that when you make tactical errors and they shoot you, you have a direct, there's a direct correlation in the brain to a little bit of pain, stinging, and learning a lesson.
This sounds like a kick.
Well, and once you get stung a few times with those airsoft pellets, then you're under stress. You can't help it. And it simulates, to some percentage, it simulates the actual stress of someone shooting at you. And that's what you need in order to test out all these things, try all these skills, and make sure they work under stress. And boy, I see the eyes just open up on people, when they have things that maybe they've learned at other schools or whatever. And I say, well, go ahead, try it out. See if it works, and then they get shot or they don't, and they learn. And it's good because then you get self-confidence, and that's my goal.
Good.
That's the end of the line. I want a person to be self-confident with their skills so they know, Billy Bad Guy shows up 4 a.m. like with Donner Hopper and starts trying to break the window in, that they know that they can deal with the situation.
Well, that sounds like a real lot, actually to me, a lot of fun in this, as well as learning. So I'm going to sign up for one of your classes for sure. And that way I can tell everybody, what it was like and recommend it. So,
right. That's my biggest source of new students is word of mouth.
Very good. Very good. So go ahead, Sis, and let's give a review of the classes there.
Okay. Let me see if I got this right, Chris. You have basic handgun safety that you teach, mm-hmm. personal protection, which is the CCW initial course.
Right.
You do personal protection?
Personal protection is actually a basic and intermediate course.
Okay.
1 day, 10-hour course where you learn the basics, you learn the fundamentals of how to operate the gun and how to be accurate with it. Things like how to line the sights and how to press the trigger without accelerating so that you're accurate. And then it moves on to discussions about the law and about stress and
right.
and tactics, moving to cover and so forth.
And doing perfect practice makes perfect, I would assume, in that class?
Yes, and there's an old adage about that. I'm glad you brought that up. Perfect practice makes perfect. In other words, you have to know what you're doing to practice it to make perfect.
Well, bad practice equals bad habits.
right.
That are very hard to break.
I can give, firearms examples. The single most common problem that people have that I diagnose all the time in personal protection, people... The stereotypical person comes in, and I'm not beating on the Marines, but, it comes in, I was in the Marines, and I know how to shoot my 1911, my 45, and all this. And then we start shooting, and I realize, wow, you're having a problem on the target. Let's mix in some inert rounds, what we call ball and dummy, with the live rounds, and then I orchestrate it so that they don't know when it's going to go bang or it's going to go click.
So you can see their trigger pull?
And then I see that trigger press. Yep. I see that acceleration that they've developed, this very strong habit. And what happens is they accelerate that trigger so fast. When I say accelerate, I mean from the beginning of the trigger press to the end, they speed up.
Before it breaks over? Yeah.
The right-handed person, it pulls them off low and to the left, and left-handed person the opposite. And what happens is before the bullet can get out of the barrel, the sight alignment, the alignment with the target and the bullseye has been thrown off.
Yeah, they've jerked the gun, basically.
And you don't know it at the time because you know, the gun goes bang, and that hides everything.
Right.
Right.
The recoil and everything. So then I point that out to them, and because they have this habit, they didn't know what they didn't know when they developed that habit, and now they have this habit after a few hundred repetitions. It takes a few thousand repetitions to change that habit.
Well,
now you have to practice a few thousand times to replace that bad habit with the proper habit.
We're running out of time, Chris. I want to make sure we get all of the courses that you provide in.
We've got Friday Night Shoot, Advanced Gun Course.
We have
Advanced Handgun.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, 1, 2, and 3 levels on the Advanced Handguns. You have a rifle course?
Yeah, I have several. I have the Advanced Rifle 1, which is more the, like, for the AR-type rifles, the .223 caliber rifles.
And you also have for shotguns,
too. 50 yards and closer.
Wow, and you also have shotguns, too. So what is that, skeet shooting? Or
And the Advanced Shotgun 1 is same thing. It's for both of these are directed for personal defense.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Okay, and then before we let you go here, I see that you're giving 20% off if they sign up for courses from December 10th to May 1st. Is that still a good thing?
Right, until May 1st, if you sign up for any of the advanced courses, that would be like Advanced Rifle 1, Advanced Shotgun 1, Advanced Handgun 1, 2, and 3, then there's 20% off, yes.
Very good, Chris. Listen, we're running out of time, but we want to thank you for coming on the show and telling us what you're all about and what Bullseye Tactical Firearms Training is about. And
we'll be seeing you soon,
we'll be
hopefully.
Seeing you soon. Very good. So thanks a lot, Chris. Next week, our guest will be Steve Rhodes from Oath Keepers, and he's going to be coming on. And
Stuart.
I'm sorry, Stuart. I read it wrong. Stuart Rhodes.
Look up the Oath Keepers, though.
Yeah, look up Oath Keepers. And we'll go from there. So anyway, last quotes. You can't beat a person who never gives up. That was Babe Ruth. Government is reason. It is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. George Washington. Anybody else got anything?
Well, I think that's it. You know, Reading Tea Party tomorrow night at 6 p.m. is Fred Kelly Grant. And get your scrap metal down to the Veterans Museum.
Very good. All right. I think we're about done then, huh? Well, we'll see you guys next week,
right,
8 a.m. in the morning, Saturday, Sovereign Minds Radio. Don't miss it. And we're out of here.
For listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. A bit of a huff at a ham house this morning in South Carolina on the day of that state's primary. Both Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich both polling as frontrunners and battling to take that state today in the primary. We're scheduled to show up at Tommy's Country Ham House in Greenville at the same time. Romney made a brief appearance, followed by Gingrich, who was happy to greet Romney's supporters on primary day.
I hope in the very near future you'll see the light and pick up a Gingrich sign and join us.
Romney, earlier at his campaign headquarters in Greenville, saved his jabs for President Barack Obama.
You can't fix something till you acknowledge and recognize the problem. And he hasn't, and he should. And if I'm president, I will. And
also out grabbing for those votes, Rick Santorum and Ron Paul. Another body has been found in the wreckage of that luxury cruise liner, now wrecked and on its side off the coast of Tuscany.
The woman's body was found towards the back of the boat in the stern area.